Would you open your Bible this morning, please, to the book of Psalms? That's one of the favorite books of many of us, the book of Psalms. And then would you turn to Psalm 63? That's where we're going to be this morning, Psalm 63. If you're watching by streaming, let me also welcome you. And if you're where you can, open your Bible to Psalm 63. If you're driving, don't open your Bible to Psalm 63. Just listen and trust me that what I read from Psalm 63 is in the Bible. You know, each day I do the same thing that I would think most of you do. Each day I pray that God will bless my family. Nothing unusual about that. All of us pray that God would bless our family. But I just, one by one, I pray each day, God, would you please today bless Dottie and John and Joel and Jody and Charlie Joe and Joel Jr. And that's just part of my prayer agenda. And what I mean by that, you say, well, what are you asking God to do? Well, what I'm asking God to do when I pray God's blessings on them is that God would give them His very best. You know, many times you'll hear people say, bless you. Preachers, when they're talking to other preachers, you'll hear they'll say, bless you, brother, bless you, brother. What are they saying? What we're saying, not they, I'm a preacher. What we're saying is, may God's very best be yours. And so, that's the whole idea of what we're asking God to do. We're saying, God, you know, we pray that for our family. We pray that for our own selves. God, today, would you please bless me with your very best today as I journey through my day. We pray that for our country. We pray that in so many areas. Now, that's all kind of routine stuff for us. But in our scripture today, there's the other side of that coin where we read in the Bible. Now listen to this, that we are to bless God. Now how in the world can I like bless God? How can you bless God? We understand how God can bless us, but how can we bless God? Well, if you look in Psalm 63, by the way, this is a prayer. I'll explain in a moment, but look down in verse number 4, because in this prayer, this is exactly what David prayed. He said to God, I will bless you while I live. Boy, that's quite a statement. David saying, God, I'm going to bless you while I live. Now, let me give you quickly the background of Psalm 63 in a nutshell. And some of you say, you can't give anything in a nutshell. Watch me. I'm going to give it in a nutshell. Write this down, first of all. The background of Psalm 63 is in 2 Samuel, chapters 15 through 19. And I encourage you, when you read the Psalms, learn as best you can what the background of the Psalm is. It makes it come alive. Now, here's in a nutshell what was going on. David was the king, and one of his sons was named Absalom. And Absalom decided that he wanted to kind of overthrow his father and he himself become the king. And so when you read those chapters, here's what you find. That over a period of time, Absalom won the hearts of the people. In fact, in chapter 15, if you just read the first 3 or 4 or 5 verses, you begin to see this. He went out to the gate where the people were, and they had these problems, and he began to start offering himself to take care of these problems. And so after a long period of time, he had kind of won over the people. He had been helping them. He had been making decisions for them. He had been deciding this, that, and yonder. And in their eyes, they began to, I think, say in their mind, hey, you know, we believe this son here would be a better king than his father. And it got so bad that what happened, David, the king, had to leave his comfortable palace and go out into the Judean desert. The Bible calls that wilderness. You and I think of wilderness as a trees, but in the Bible, wilderness means the desert. And out in the Judea part of Israel, there is just desert. And so think of this. The king, because of his own son, is forced, for fear that his son will have him killed, leaves his palace, goes out, and begins to actually live in the desert. And while there, he prayed Psalm 63. What we have is in our Bible is Psalm 63. It's a very, very magnificent psalm. And in this prayer, it's a prayer. You need to understand, he's praying this to God. And in what he said to God out in the desert, there are numbers of things mentioned where we can bless God. We can bless God. Now, we'll only look at two for time's sake this morning. And so let's do that. If you take your bulletin and just jot a little word or two down, I want you to remember that you can bless God by remembering that we still have Him regardless of what we go through in life. And if you just jot that down, you may not need it today, but if you live, Jesus tarries, you will need it. In all of our lives, we go through some wilderness times. Some this morning, some of you are in a wilderness time, a desert time, a hard time. That's exactly the situation that David found himself. And notice what he said in the very beginning of this prayer. He began his prayer by saying, "Oh God, you are my God." As difficult and heartbreaking as what he was going through, his own son being the cause, he still remembered that he had God. And I want to encourage you this morning, no matter what you find in life, no matter how hard, what the wilderness time might be, always remember that you still have God. You may have lost your health, your wealth, a relationship's gone south, what a dream did not come true, whatever it may be, you always have God. And as long as you can remember that, that is a way of blessing God. It's a marvelous, marvelous thing that we can do. You know, sometimes people have the idea that if we're Christians, and if we try to serve the Lord and try to do what's right and live for God the best we can, that we will be somewhat exempt from wilderness times in life. Well, that's a pie in the sky, but it's not Bible. The Bible teaches totally the opposite. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. Everybody is going to have some kind of wilderness time, some kind of tribulation in his or her life. The Bible says in Psalm 34 that many are the afflictions of the righteous. And as you stop and think about that, some of the people that we know that have been as faithful to God as anybody could be, they have gone through and are going through just very difficult time. They're going through wilderness time, but they still remember they have God. I think of Billy Graham. I mean, no one would be a better example of someone who, for a long period of time, so active in kingdom work. And look, his latter years, how difficult those latter years have been. They've been his wilderness time. And when you go to the Cove and the children give a report of how their daddy's doing, or maybe one of the grandchildren, Will tells about his grandfather and the situation he's in now, you just think, you know, but that's exactly what Jesus tells us in the Bible. It's what the Word of God tells us. So no matter what you're going through, remember, you always have God. And sometimes He may be all you have. And when you get to that time, you realize who you have, how much you really have. Let me tell you a second thing that's very, very important that you can do to bless God. We can bless God by desiring Him. When you just desire God, you bless Him. Look again in Psalm 63 in verse 1. He said, "Oh God, you are my God." But then look at these next statements. "Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you." In my Bible, I have written beside that, desired God. He desired God. Boy, when you and I desire God, we bless God. That's one of the things that we can do to bless God. Now, what happens, though, when we get in one of these wilderness times, what we desire is deliverance. I want to be delivered out of this mess. I want to be delivered out of this hard thing. I want to be delivered out of what's going wrong. Well, that's the human thing to do. But the first thing to do and the right thing to do is not to sit around waiting for deliverance. The first thing is you go to God. Let Him still be your priority desire, and deliverance will come in God's timing and in God's ways. It's one of the best ways to bless God is to desire Him more than His blessings. Now, let's think about that a moment. All of us desire God's blessings, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the fact of the matter is we should desire God more than we desire His blessings. Let me illustrate. This is not a good illustration, but it's the best I've got for this morning. Soon will be Thanksgiving, and many of you will have a Thanksgiving meal, perhaps on Thanksgiving Day at lunch or maybe the evening meal, with family or friends. Now, you think about that a moment. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you desire most to be with your family and friends that you will be having Thanksgiving meal with, or do you desire most the food you're going to be eating? Did I hear a rumbling? Yeah, I was telling at 9:30 service. Of course, all of our ministry, we've lived geographically very separated from family. And every year, either at Thanksgiving or Christmas, we would want to go home and see our family. And, you know, Dottie's mother was nobody could outcook Dottie's mother. Yeah. I was thinking about that during this week. Of course, she's now going to be the Lord. And I was thinking about this question I was going to ask you, and I turned it on myself. And I thought, you know, back when I used to think about going home to see family at Thanksgiving and was going to eat at her parents' house, did I really desire most to see her mother or to eat her mother's food? I will not answer in this service, because I've learned that you have a bad habit of telling Dottie things I've trusted you not to tell her. Well, take that poor illustration, not a good illustration, I'd be the first to say, but let's take it and put it in a realm of God. Like, certainly I desire God's blessings. Certainly you desire God's blessings. But here's the way to bless God. Desire Him. Desire Him. Desire Him. It'd be like in any relationship. Like, do I desire the blessings Dottie can bring to me? Or do I just desire her as a person? Well, what about God? You know, do I desire what God can do for me? Is that the real chief desire of my heart? Or is the chief desire of my heart, I just desire God? And the way you'll know that is by looking what you do. I mean, obviously you have a desire for God. You came to church this morning. But like every day, I mean, do you desire to get in His Word and spend time with Him and listen to what He says from His Word and listen to what His Spirit says to you and talk to Him? I mean, you know, this whole idea of desiring God, such a wonderful, wonderful way it is to bless the Lord. Now, let's go back in our verse number 4. Here's what David said in his prayer. I will bless God while I live. I would hope that's your prayer. I would hope that is your prayer this morning, that your heart would be to bless God. That is to do what? To give God your best. What are you praying when you ask God to bless you? You're really saying, God, would you please give me your best in this and this and this. Okay? If we want to bless God, what do? In essence, we give God our best. Let me ask you. I've been asking myself all weeks. I've been working on the sermon. But I ask you for the moment. Would you say you're giving God your best, really? I mean, I don't want to go on a guilt trip here. That's not the point. The point is, it's a good point. I mean, I ask myself all during the week, in every area of my life, I just look at these different, am I giving God my best, or am I just kind of doing what's required, kind of taking the low road, the middle, instead of the high road? You know, am I giving God my best? The truth is, if we're not careful, we just kind of give God leftovers. We just give God, we don't have something else to do. not really our best. See, one day, all of us are going to stand before God at the Bema judgment, Christian people. And the Bible tells us we're going to be judged by our works done in our body, whether they be good or bad. So one day you're going to stand before God, and I can't imagine anything better than standing before God and God saying to me, you didn't do it perfectly, but you gave your best. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now, you see, it's nice to talk about that, but it's a real deal. One day we're all going to stand before God, and we're going to be rewarded, be given rewards based on our works. And in areas where we've just been kind of giving God the scraps or giving God the leftovers or just doing what we kind of had to do, we're going to miss what God really has for us in its fullness. And I want to encourage you, no need to go on a guilt trip. Wherever we've not done that in the past, repent of that, ask God's forgiveness, put it under the blood of Jesus, and leave it there. But this morning, we can all just draw a line in the sand and say, starting now, right now, as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter, at work, at home, in my relationships, in everything about my life, I'm making a commitment. I'm going to give God my best. I won't be perfect. No, you won't either. And we'll always want to do it better, but the fact is, when you give God your best, that's the best you can do. And if you'll make that commitment to give God your best, nothing will bless God more. Whereas you ask God, God bless me. God, I'm just asking you to give me your best, okay? I'm going to try them. I'm going to bless God. I'm going to give God my best. And I think about this a lot. I think about it a lot. As I look at prayer life, I look at all areas of my life, and I say to myself, am I really giving God my best? And I don't go down a guilt trip with that. Don't want you to go down. That's what the devil would want you to do. Is to, say, well, I didn't. Look, put it on the blood. Put it on the blood. Here's what we do. We start today and say, on a new level, I'm going to give God my best. And when you do that, you have blessed God. And you'll be a blessing. And life will be so very different. You'll still fall short. You'll still mess up here and there, and so we will all. But the bottom line is, God knows our heart. And in our heart, if God sees we want to give our best to Him, what a difference that's going to make. Now, for some this morning, listen carefully. For some this morning, that will be to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive you of your sin and make you a Christian. Or perhaps you say, I think I've done that. I'm not certain. I'm not sure. Well, this morning, you can be sure. In a moment, I'll help you do that. For others here this morning, if you say, I really want to give God my best, it well may be that you would come and say to a minister, I need to take my next step and follow in my baptism as I witnessed here earlier in this service. For others of you this morning, it may be that you say, you know what? I need to put my family's life, or my life, as the case may be, in this church and let this be my church home where I really get involved discover the gifts that God's given me, find how I can use those gifts in this church, and just give my best. Not just come to the worship services, not just belong to the church, but to be part of kingdom work in the church. That would be this morning a way some of you can bless God. Now, others of you this morning, in fact, the majority of you, already a member of this church. You know, you're already saved. You're already a member of the church. But for some, you're really not giving God your best. You say, well, wait a minute. I come to church and I support the church. Well, that's wonderful. But God has given every believer at least one spiritual gift. You need to be serving the Lord in some way through the church. And we have multitudes of ways to do that at whatever level of commitment you can make. And we would want to help you find that. But your part is to take the first step and come and put your life into the church. And so I want us this morning to take a moment, if you'd bow with me. I want to pray with that group that I first mentioned that today needs to be saved or today needs to settle their salvation. And if that's you today, you say, Pastor, I think I'm saved. I'm just not certain. I'm not sure. Others might say, I know I'm really not saved. I've always believed there's God, but I've never really had an experience with Him. This morning, if you'll just pray this little simple prayer, just say, Lord Jesus, I love You. And I thank You that You love me. And I ask You, Jesus, to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and make me a Christian. And I trust You, Jesus, to save me. Now, others this morning would say, Pastor, I've prayed that kind of prayer, maybe not those exact words, but I've prayed that prayer, something like that, time and time and time again. But I do not have complete peace that when I die, I'm going to heaven. Well, you can have that peace. That's the blessed good news. Just say, Lord Jesus, I think I'm saved, but I'm not sure. But I don't want to die lost and go to hell. I want to slip out of my body one day and go to heaven and be with You. And so, God, if I'm not saved, I'm asking You this morning, forgive me of my sins, come into my life and make me a Christian. I trust You, Jesus, to save me. Thank You today, I've settled my salvation. In Your name I pray. Now, Heavenly Father, this invitation time, God, it's Your invitation. I'm extending Your invitation. It's not my invitation. It's Your invitation. And God, I would believe this morning, I do believe, that in this room there are decisions that need to be made. And some of them, God, need to be made public. And I pray this morning that for those who have a public decision to make, that they would come to the front in a moment, pray with a minister, and God, let us find how we can plug them in to help them take their next step. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.